Turn with me to John chapter 6. Chapter 6, reading verses 49-59. John chapter 6, reading 49-59. Remember that this is the next day following the feeding of the 5,000, following the next morning, following the Lord Jesus walking on the water, and Peter asking him to call him to come to him, and the multitude having discovered that he has left them, so to speak, finds him back on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, and he rebukes them. Even though they followed him most assiduously, he rebukes them, saying that, you know, they're following him because they ate the bread the previous day. You think that he would be happy that they had found him, were following him, and he rebukes them. But in the midst of this, we see that they kind of turn on him. They say, Moses gave us bread, you know. Essentially, what are you doing? And Lord Jesus turns this whole notion of bread into something spiritual. So it's not the physical bread. He says there's something far beyond that. He's already said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. And he goes on from there. But we're going to pick up here in verse 49. He says again, 48, I'm the bread of life. 49. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Okay. So we have powerful lessons by the Lord Jesus here in this teaching the day after the feeding of the 5,000, in which he likens the bread to himself, and he offers eternal life to its reception. So the first thing that we notice, he says, I am the living bread of which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. So the first thing that we can notice from that is that Christ himself is life. There's all this living bread and eating this bread and living forever, but the heart of it is that the life is someplace. It's actually it's being imparted, sure, but where does it come from? Where does it come from? It comes from the Lord Jesus. He is life. He is giving eternal life. And there is a reception of that in which there is life that is given. What the Lord Jesus is saying is that this is what was actually being displayed as an object, the sun and a shadow, when there was manna given from Moses in the Old Testament. This is Exodus chapter 16, of course, and they were in the desert. They were dying, basically, and they say, "How are you going to take care of us?" And God gives them manna, and it had these miraculous characteristics. Notice the parallel again. This is the shadow cast by Christ. They're going to die without it. It is given by God directly. Given by God directly. And the Lord Jesus refers to that more so in the verses around that. My Father gave bread in the wilderness. My Father gives you the life-giving bread. And then he says, "I am the bread." And the provision is miraculous. It just appears, right? When they're out in the desert, and here's this stuff. And you notice there is a fake provision as well, if you will. Remember, I don't really like this stuff. It's insipid. They want something else. And so God gives them quail. There's the fleshly version, if you will, of manna. It's quail, and they kill the quail, and then God kills them, right? As they're still eating it, it says, he strikes many thousands of them dead. So there is the fleshly equivalent. I have to take what God gives in a miraculous fashion. I can have that which is, you know, not so miraculous. Here's a quail. Oh, you know, kill it. Strip it of its feathers and cook it and eat it. That's I know what that is. This manna. It literally means what? Why? What is this? It's miraculous. They never did, you know. It doesn't come from any place. And if you tried to keep it overnight, they said it bred worms and stank. So you had to have it every day. Except if you tried to keep it for 2 days for the Sabbath, well, then it would keep 2 days. It never kept 2 days, except when the Sabbath was coming. Then it keeps 2 days. If you any other day you tried to get 2 days worth, I'm lazy. I'll just get 2 days worth. No, it breeds worms and sticks. But you get 2 days worth on Friday afternoon. Oh, now it's good. It's miraculous. It is literally miraculous. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. This is bread from heaven. But it per se does not keep anything but your body alive. Jesus says, God is now giving you that which will keep you, body and soul, if you will, alive eternally. There is a connection there. You had to get just a day at a time. You had to get 2 days at a time on Friday afternoon. There's a faith element there. Just as there is a faith element, the Lord Jesus says, I am the bread. I am the bread that comes down from heaven. How do you receive this bread? That was just stuff on the ground, easily despised, and they did. What is this stuff? And so is the Lord Jesus. Here's a man, and they always, you know, the big deal today is if I can figure out what the antecedents of something are, well, it can't be miraculous. And so it was with the Lord Jesus. They said, we know who his parents are. He can't do this. We know where he comes from. And so here's this man. And they said, I know where you come from. You come from Nazareth. I know where your parents are. He's a carpenter. Nothing special about you. And you're standing there saying, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. What do you mean? You're a man like I am. There's faith there. It says, I am life. And he is. That's the first thing. Second. So if there's life in Christ, there's a second point. It's not just that Christ is life, but that life for us is in his death. It's not just that he has life and he kind of walks around and touches people and they live. Certainly the pictures of the Lord Jesus of giving literal life when he raises people from the dead and giving sight to people who are born blind are pictures of this life that the Lord Jesus gives. But this is beyond that. It is life from death. It says, the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. It's not just kind of a piece of himself, right? There is a once-for-all sacrifice, never to be repeated, once-for-all sacrifice that life was poured out. There's life from death. There's no death involved in Exodus. This is just like the staff of life, but it's in a miraculous fashion. You pick it up and you eat and you say, where did that come from? You can't tell where it comes from. Just like you couldn't tell that the Lord Jesus was the Son from heaven. But there's no death involved there. But Jesus came as a man in order to die. You know, you and I are born to die because of Adam. But the Lord Jesus comes. And he comes condescendingly in love with a purpose. And that purpose is death. And from his death is life. So like I said, he doesn't just kind of sap people. So even though we receive life from him, we don't receive it. Well, it's not life from life, it's life from death. His whole life, if you will, was for death. We read that from Hebrews chapter 10. It says, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Behold, I come. Behold, I come. All sacrifices are gone. He himself dies. And the Lord Jesus stands there, living and whole and moving around and saying, I'm going to die, and there is life from my death. And most of the people there scoffed at that. But the closest disciples said, where else will we go? They said, you have the words of eternal life. Life from Jesus' death? How can that be? Only because he's the Son. Only because he's the Son. There's no other virtue in somebody dying. How can they possibly die on behalf of someone else? The believer has embraced the death of Christ for his own life. Jesus says, I will give my flesh for the life of the world. That is, for those who are outside of the pale, those who, for whom there has been no interest in Christ. And he gives an interest in Christ. Jesus knows that what he's saying will appear to most of his hearers as at least outlandish, if not gibberish, just total nonsense. I'm going to give my life for the life of the world. How can that be? Here's my life and here's the world, and that's megalomania, right? That's monomania. That's craziness, except for unless he is God himself. And now we start off with reception of him like eating bread as life, and now it's his death, and now the two are connected in the last statement. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now, he does not say he will rise. It's not third person. It's first person. The Lord Jesus is speaking of his own death, and then he's still speaking of himself as active following his own death. I will raise. He's clearly anticipating his own resurrection. I will raise him up on the last day. He's going to die, but that's not the end of the story, right? The Lord Jesus, the whole story is known to him from the beginning. His life of humiliation, his death at the hands of his enemies, he begins to reveal to his disciples late, but it's not. He's known it from the whole time. To him, that's writ large in the Old Testament scriptures. Should not the Messiah, should not the Son of Man have suffered and enter into his glory, he says to those on the way to Emmaus. Should not. He's speaking of from the scriptures. So clearly, he anticipates his own death and resurrection and judging at the end. So the one giving his life is here. It is here, still alive. It's not just life, it's life from the dead, and it's eternal life. The Lord Jesus is still there at the end, so to speak, and he has all power, and he is judging. And what is the nature of that? Christ is raised. The believer is raised. Christ is raised. The believer is raised. And how is that? What does that look like? It looks like a reception by faith. My flesh is food indeed. My blood is drink. There's a reception. Here is a description of the communion here. Not a repetition of a bloody sacrifice, which the scriptures clearly state is a once for all event, but clearly an ongoing reception in a spiritual manner. It's not just a reenactment or an obedience commemoration. There is a spiritual reception here. The Lord Jesus is not just come and gone. The believer receives strength. The believer says, all that the Lord Jesus is for me, I affirm by faith. How did the believer in the Old Testament pick up double on Friday? How did those who heard the Lord Jesus say, yes, he is that by faith? How do we receive here? Christ as the God-man, Christ as the cruelly used one in the flesh, Christ dying a real death, a real bloody death, all of that is received by faith here.